Good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James. I'm joined by our head of news, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And our head of production, Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio, all of you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. We're going to kick things off with a little bit of entertainment news. A little bit later, we're going to get into four healthy foods that aren't as healthy as we might think. and 10 delicious meals people loved as kids, but later realized they were a little weird.
Wow. Lots of food today.
Or in other words, my entire diet.
I was going to say.
And we may reveal what is coming up on the Kitchen's Open later.
Oh, cool. Ooh, nice. We're also going to have a tease for you here, too, because on Monday, the three of us are going to go over the most iconic video game characters of all time.
We'll do that
on Monday. That'll be fun.
Commander Keen better have made the list.
Oh, brother.
We start things off in entertainment with Kiss. I didn't say a Kiss, just Kiss, the band.
The Kiss.
I don't think you need to know much about Kiss to know that they had a idea in mind early on that they were going to be the biggest band in the world, and they were going to sell everything that they could to do so. Kiss, I believe, was the first. The Beatles did this a bit. The Monkees did it a bit. Nobody did what Kiss did, where they were having comic books with their blood in it. They were having underwear, socks. Just literally.
Marketing. Yeah.
I don't know if there's an item out there that doesn't have some Kiss apparel on it.
Right.
And, of course, a gigantic music library. Hits in multiple decades. You don't have to like Kiss, but I think you do have to have some respect for what they accomplished.
Absolutely.
I got to see them in their coming back tour in 96, 97. And I am not a big Kiss fan. My dad's not a gigantic Kiss fan. Knows the band, likes them, liked Ace Frehley and stuff, but not a huge, huge fan. And I went with one of my best friends, Steve, who has a Kiss Army tattoo on him, just to give you an idea. And he dresses up every year as Gene Simmons for Halloween.
Right.
I came out of that show like I had never seen a music concert before in my life.
Wow.
Like I'd never seen it. It was a circus. Mm-hmm. It was a circus masquerading as a rock concert.
Right.
Every single one of them had a moment, not just where they had a solo, but where like some special effects or pyrotechnics, Ace Frehley going on to town on a guitar solo and it starts on fire. And he's still playing it. Like Paul Stanley, one of the greatest MCs I've ever seen. My God, that man could command a stage. Incredible band, whether you like him or not. And now they are sold. They have completely sold out. Kiss has been trying to sell out for a long time. And that's not an insult.
No, they've been very upfront about it.
Listen to any interview with Gene Simmons, and he'll tell you this point blank. And now they have finally done it. They have completely sold out. They have sold the Kiss catalog, the complete library.
Wow.
Even the Kiss casket. They have a Kiss casket, by the way, everybody.
Of course they do.
Yes, the guys in Kiss have sold their name, logo, music catalog, and image and likeness rights to Pop House Entertainment and the company behind ABBA's live Avatar show. And they made $300 million on the deal.
Nice.
That's it?
Yeah, that's my thought, Melissa. That was my exact thought. $300 mil? Like, wow.
I mean, I'm sure that's enough for all of them to live out the remainder of their lives. Without any effort, but it still seems cheap.
We're talking like 4 or 5 decades worth of material, and if it was just the music, it might be one thing. But it's all of it. I mean, even Kiss and Night at the Park. I mean, or the Phantom in the Park, or whatever the movie they made that was horrible. That was horrible. Everybody, if you love horrible movies, you have to see that movie.
Yeah.
Kiss and the Phantom in the Park, or something like that. It was like a made-for-TV movie. You have to see that movie if you enjoy bad movies. It's so good.
Did they do a mystery? Science.
No, they probably couldn't get the rights to it.
Well, they could. Maybe they could now. I don't know.
Kiss made no secret when they played their last show that they would live on in hologram form, and that's exactly what Pop House is going to do. Gene Simmons says, quote, Kiss, the touring band is over. What Pop House will do with our images, our music, and our persons is unlike anything anyone's ever seen. The show is scheduled to debut in 2027. A biopic and documentary are also in the works, and Gene says he and Paul are totally involved in all of it. So if you're a Kiss fan, I would not give up hope on the idea that this is out of their hands now. They are still the two biggest creative minds behind Kiss, and Gene and Paul are still big in play in this. But I also, if I'm a Kiss fan, this is different than everything else they've ever done. You know, with our favorite bands, we get a little, we take it a little personal. We act like we help write these songs and things like that. This pushed it too far to me. If I was a diehard Kiss fan, because this is now it's no different than ABBA. It's no different than any of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's right out there for everybody, right. Like the hologram stuff and everything. I don't know.
Which I don't mind. And actually kind of for – it fits them, you know, the whole theatricality of everything.
Of any bands to do it, they're probably the best ones to do it.
Yes.
But then I also ask if they've sold all the rights to everything. Do they – for anything going forward, do they get anything back for it, for this effort they're putting in? Hmm. Did they just buy stock in that company? Like what? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all in the fine details of the contract, whatever they did. I mean, I'm still guessing they're still going to get royalty fees for their writing, the songwriting and stuff. Okay. They'll still get that, of course. But they will not get publishing rights anymore. They won't get a lot of other things. Honestly, I think this is because that they're done with each other.
Oh yeah.
It's been a long time since Ace has been throwing dart. They've been back and forth for a while now, and it's like I think they're like, nah, we're done as a band. All right, let's cash in, kind of thing. Yeah. So
kind of can't blame them though.
No, not really.
I don't blame them, but the other part of this, when I see the $300 million, and I know these guys' careers and how they're doing and everything, they don't need it. Like they
not
didn't
really.
Need to do this. Like it's not as if they're hurting for money or anything like that. It feels like so much of what you're saying, Seth, they're not just done with each other. They're kind of like done with all of this.
It's really
like, just
seems
like,
that way.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. You know, I don't know.
But in the music industry, was this inevitable? Was this going to happen at some point? Yeah. I mean, we've talked about, who is it that was the hologram rights for an actor? Was it William Shatner
somebody like that?
And they were talking about doing something like that, or AI voice, taking their voice and reusing it again.
Oh yeah.
Did James Earl Jones do that, or was he?
There was talk about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So was this inevitable?
Yeah. That's a great.
At some point.
Yeah. Makes you wonder. Adam Sandler has been thrown some heavy curveballs in the development of Happy Gilmore 2. In the past year, he's lost some key players, the original Bob Barker, Carl Weathers, and now Joe Flathery have all passed away who were in the original. But even though they can't be in the sequels, he hopes to honor them in some way. Had a great interview on the Dan Patrick Show. Dan Patrick, one of the more underrated interviewers in all of like media.
Entertainment.
Dan Patrick can interview anybody and do a good job. He's very good at the job. He gets guests to loosen up and to be themselves. And then there's Adam Sandler, who just is always himself and always relaxed and everything. It was a great interview. he talked about, he said on the Dan Patrick Show, first off, nobody was supposed to know about Happy Gilmore 2. Nobody.
Oh, whoops.
Shooter McGavin, the great actor.
Chris McDonald.
Chris McDonald. Yeah. He was doing a radio, he's doing a podcast. And he mentioned, I talked to the Sandman the other day, and he said they're working on a script. They've almost got it done. What actually happened was Sandler was doing a stand-up special, saw Shooter McGavin, Chris McDonald, saw him and hadn't seen him in years and was so excited to see him. And they don't really have each other's like information.
Right.
So he saw him, and he's like, hey, we're working on something here. Make sure you're free.
Make sure you're free
because we're going to need you and everything. It's Happy Gilmore 2 and stuff. But don't tell anybody. And then what does
he
do?
And he forgot that part.
So.
Well, they know. You know what they say about keeping a secret? Mm-hmm. If you tell anybody, it's out.
That's true.
So Sandler and Dan Patrick asks him about this, and Sandler gets talking about it, and he says, quote, "It sucks. We love those guys. They were such a big part of the movie and just great people, but we're going to get them involved somehow. They'll be involved." So their roles will still show up. Knowing Sandler, nothing but class. There's no way you can convince
probably
me.
Talking to them off camera. Like,
something.
Hey, Bob,
yeah.
You're looking great, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't do that.
I'm a complete hypocrite because every time I talk about remakes or sequels or anything like that, I'm like, oh, can be original. Come up with something else. I can't wait for this. I can't wait, and I make no bones about it. I own my hypocrisy.
It's one of those, because that crossed my mind. It's like, yeah, okay, they made that movie good. I mean, it was of all the Adam Sandler films, probably the one I liked the most is Happy Gilmore. But Why not do? Why do you have to bring everything? You can't catch lightning in a bottle twice.
No.
That's the problem with sequels. Unless you do something that's different. Unless you find a way to really change things up. So
I'm still going to hold my stance of they just need to call it something else. Don't call it Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah.
Call it something completely different.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to get a whole new audience that comes in and watches it and then was like, wait, there was a number one?
Right.
We got to watch that. And,
exactly. That makes more sense to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's still a sequel, but it's not called
explicitly.
Yeah. You're right. Looking at what's new on your small screen this weekend, the series premiere on Apple TV Plus of Sugar, starring Colin Farrell as a private investigator named John Sugar, who specializes in missing person cases. If it's anything, if it's even half as good as the trailer, I am all in.
I was going to say, that looks really cool.
Colin Farrell is one of the few actors I've seen where he has this big break, has his status, mucks up, messes up a bit, and catches himself before he goes too far. Kind of goes away for like a year or two, takes acting classes, learns a little bit more, comes back, and is a true thespian.
Yep.
His work, I know how silly this is going to sound, but his work as the Penguin in the most recent Batman movie, my dad watched it, and he's like, Jimmy, I thought Colin Farrell was in it. He didn't believe that was him.
That's not bad.
I love it when actors can do that.
Oh, my God. It's so good. He steals the show in so many scenes, and he's working behind so much makeup. He has really grown. We see actors get better. I don't know many times I've seen an actor like evolve like a ton like he has.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yeah, but he put the work in.
Yep. He sure did.
Yep. Yep. And he realized what was happening. He caught himself as he was slipping and, hey, wait a minute. I get to play make-believe for a living.
Right.
I should probably check myself. And we don't get a chance to note those things very often. On Netflix today, Scoop, a movie about BBC interview with Prince Andrew, tried to defend his reputation in the height of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. That should be an interesting one. This series premiere on Hulu of Dinosaur, starring Scottish comedian Ashley Story as a woman whose her sister rushes into an engagement. Little Big Town is on CMT Storytellers tonight on CMT. You can catch that at 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, March Madness.
Oh, yay. Wow. We're still in April. We're in March Madness.
Yeah.
No,
tomorrow on TBS, you'll have the part of the semifinals. Mm-hmm. Purdue taking on North Carolina Wolfpack. Go Wolfpack. And then on Saturday on TBS, you will have UConn versus Alabama. Mm. WrestleMania 40 is on Peacock Saturday and Sunday. Man, I remember when that used to matter to me.
Yeah. I remember that too, back in the late 80s.
I'd be looking forward to this for months. And now it's like, oh yeah, WrestleMania.
Dude,
yeah.
The only thing I'm going to say is wrestling is too serious.
It kind of took it.
The thing I liked about it, and I think that's why so many kids, when we were kids, liked it, was it was so cartoony.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Over the top.
Yes. And they never took themselves seriously.
Yeah.
Now they take themselves way too seriously.
Also, not enough animals. Not enough animals. Coco Beware came down there with a parrot. Jake the Snake Roberts had a boa constrictor.
Big old snake, yeah.
I thought there were animals wrestling. I was very confused.
That's illegal.
Actually, though, now you got it is illegal. That's very wrong. Very wrong. But I do think there needs to be more props in wrestling.
More
props. You need the gimmick. Where is the gimmick?
The gimmick.
Nobody has gimmicks
they
anymore.
They don't have the 2x4. The Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
They just need to add animation.
that
would be interesting.
That'd be fun. Saturday on NBC, Kristen Wiig comes back to 30 Rock to host SNL. Rhea will be the music guest. I'm looking forward to that. I love Kristen Wiig.
She's very funny.
I love when legendary cast members come back to host. It's one of my favorite things on that show. On CMT on Sunday at 7, Kelsey Bellinari hosts the 2024 CMT Music Awards. Performances include from Jelly Roll, Keith Urban, Lainey Wilson, Sam Hunt, Little Big Town, Sugarland, all going to be there.
Wow.
Ooh.
And the series finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm Sunday at 9 o'clock on HBO. That's
I thought that show was already done.
Yeah, a shame to see it go, but it's probably best for Larry David. It's probably it's probably the healthiest thing for him.
Yeah.
And new in theaters this weekend, just a couple. The first Omen, rated R. This is a prequel to the 76 original of the Omen franchise.
Because there needed to be one of those.
Right, right. The big one, Pev Patel stars in Monkey Man. The Pev you may remember from Slumdog Millionaire. Jordan Peele produced this one.
Ooh.
It's being compared to John Wick with more brutality.
Ooh.
Whoa.
No thanks.
and you just don't see, if I'm being blunt here, you don't see a guy like Pev star in action movies.
No, you don't.
He's a thespian. He is an Indian actor, and you mm-hmm. don't get to see that very often. I'm excited just about that, just about seeing. Look, we have ran out of action stars, everybody. We got Denzel at 65 still making action movies. No. We got The Rock in his 50s doing it. Like, we're not making young action stars anymore.
Well, and look at we've got the whole world to choose from now, man. Yeah. We got to find those action stars from anywhere. You can find them from anywhere now.
Yeah.
I think maybe this will start a trend. Maybe we'll get some more international action stars. That'd be awesome.
And wrapping up our entertainment moment, I just want to take a moment to put the spotlight on our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and the Lewis Canton Studio Theater, where they have today and tomorrow a great production going on, Tiny Beautiful Things. It is directed by our good friend Mystique McAmour. Mm-hmm. Mystique, one of our better directors in this area,
She's very good.
And this is a wonderful play. It's an emotional and good and strong, well-written play. But the I don't mean this in a bad way. You could send these four ladies up there to read a phone book, and I would be saying the same thing. You've got Amanda Meidel, Corey Gavinsky, Moselle Stoiber, and Logan McAmour all in this. You've got incredible cast. Mm-hmm. You have some of our strongest actors in our community in this show. That alone is going to get you to enjoy the show, get you to the get you there, get your tickets, everybody.
That's the real cool thing about these director showcase shows. I mean, we get to see very different, something very different from what we do on the main stage, and I think that just makes it better. I think that the whole theater group is stronger because of that.
I'm dying to do a show on that stage. I'm dying to know what it's like to perform on there. I'm begging to just just give me one line and I'll do it. I cannot be more serious about this. I love the idea of it. It reminds me of like high school sports, where you're just on the same level as the audience. You're right there with them. I don't want to put you on the spot with this, Melissa, but you've done a show on that stage. Mm-hmm. Seth and I haven't. Mm-hmm. Does it have that feel? Am I just imagining that? Because it seems like it's so cool to be on the literally same level as the audience.
It's a very intimate stage. Yeah. No, and it definitely you feel very connected with the audience. Mm.
So I thought that maybe that might bring out a little bit, maybe a different performance in you than you would do on the main stage show. Mm-hmm. To me, that feels like it would happen almost organically. And I love the idea
that's
of that.
Great.
To be fair, the only show that I've done on that stage was a one-woman show. So I don't know how interacting with other people on stage would be like with an audience.
Man, but I don't know how you had such a problem with the other cast members in that too. I mean, it was just... It's so hard.
I do really still feel bad about not acknowledging my sound person, Tim Young, at the end of each show, because he did an awesome job with the sound effects and the lighting, and every time I think about that, I'm still a little chagrined.
Support local, Tim's everybody. Okay. Support the arts. Tim's all right.
He's all right.
And there is one other show that I want to mention before we go on. The Marshfield Community Theater has Sister Act opening this weekend.
Oh, nice.
In Marshfield. So you definitely want to catch that as well.
Support the arts, everybody, especially in Wisconsin, where, as we have told you a number of times, Wisconsin finished dead last in the union when it came to funding the arts, putting money into the arts. You need them.
Yep.
You need them. Look at the winter we just had. Do you think we don't need the arts? Do you think we don't need like more creativity in this state? Mm-hmm. Like,
and we have it. That's the thing. We have the talent. Go to the Alexander House and see the beautiful exhibit they have. Our cultural center here in Wisconsin Rapids. You know, let alone our musicians that we have at our bars and our area of work. You know, and then theater.
Today,
preach it, sister.
One of the greatest actors in human history was born in this state. We're celebrating his birthday today in Spencer Tracy.
Uh-huh.
Like, take some pride in that.
Yeah.
And take some pride in the arts. Like, there's a lot of great artists over the years that have come from this day. Les Paul, my God. I mean, we can keep going. Ramble and talk about a million artists that have come out of this state. Imagine if they didn't have any funding in the arts. Imagine if they didn't care about arts in this state. There is no Les Paul. There is no Spencer Tracy. There is not. We don't have the same world. Without Wisconsin artists. Support the arts in this state. We should not have to fight for this.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright, for God's sake. Frank Lloyd Wright.
We have from one of the greatest animators of all time from Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, Grim Natwick.
Yep, Grim Natwick.
From Wisconsin Rapids. Yep. I mean, come on.
Support the arts, everybody. it's an investment. Yeah. It is an investment. It's not just throwing money at the wall. It's not just, oh, let's help out these artists. No, it's an investment because these artists continue to put into the state and continue to put into the whole fund, everything.
Yeah, they bring people here. And you all take in, and this is speaking for myself too, who doesn't watch television or movies, as we all know?
Of course.
We all consume art.
We do. All the time.
It brings so much enrichment to our lives on so many levels.
I feel, Seth and I were talking during one of our breaks, I feel so much for people up north and what they've had to deal with this winter. One of the ways they have countered to find a way to make money is the arts. It's a necessity now. It's not just something that we're asking you to do. This is important. And if you want lower taxes, if you want any of these things, you want more people to come here, blah, 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 put into the arts, support the arts.
Quality of life, everyone.
Get your tickets for Tiny Beautiful Things tonight at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Otherwise, you can get them right at the front desk when you show up for the show. The show will be tonight at 7, and again, another show tomorrow at 7. We'll take a quick time out, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Gets me every time. This will be in my head all day now.
Oh, good. My plans are working.
Just a quick segment here before we get to our news break, and it's kind of a newsworthy story. Are you one of those responsible adults who gets back to zero unread emails each day, or is your inbox full of them? A new study found letting it stay cluttered like that might be affecting you or your mental health more than you realize. It found people who let emails build up or use their inbox like a to-do list are more likely to forget about stuff and let it fall by the wayside. And that can be a problem that's something like a reminder to pay a bill or something like that. It becomes a problem. They found that a cluttered inbox can leave you feeling flustered and disorganized all the time. And it could even be costing you hundreds of dollars a year in things like unnecessary late fees. That said, 52% of people with cluttered inboxes claim that. Why did that feel dirty when I said it? 52% of people with cluttered inboxes claim that, that they like the way that they do things and don't need to change anything.
I'm fine. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Right, right. For the inbox zero crowd, it's 71%.
Inbox zero. I love that.
You know, I tried to do that with my work email. Mm-hmm. I was successful for the first 2 months. But do you know how much time every day I was spending deleting emails?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to catch up, but I have 7,000 emails in my inbox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's just the unread ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. it's insane.
Yeah.
I only have a Yahoo email for fantasy sports. That's it. And I never check it. And the other day, I won a championship, so I wanted to see, because I wanted to just relive it and everything, because I'm a nerd. And I'll check my inbox, you know, see. I have literally over 100,000 emails in there.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know how to change.
How is that possible?
I didn't even know you could do that.
Now, like, in Yahoo, I'm surprised you can.
I did not know you could even get to that. I want to pull it up right now to show you guys, because I'm just flabbergasted by it, and I don't even know where to begin. Now, every other email account I have, and I have about 3 or 4, including my work email, I'm the exact opposite. I like that thing at zero, or maybe 1 or 2 emails in there just as a reminders to me, like we have a tornado warning coming up, so in my work email, I have that one there. But I need to find a good balance with this, because you hit on something there, Melissa, the amount of time we spend on emails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You want better productivity from your workers. Maybe not keep them so busy with emails and meetings. Let them do the job you hired them for. Like, that's not me taking shots at companies, though, because I understand what companies are trying. Everybody's trying to earn their paycheck. And when you got people way up top that are sitting there and looking in the mirror and like, oh God, I gotta look busy. I gotta look busy. I gotta look busy. I gotta earn my paycheck. I gotta earn my paycheck. So that's where a lot of this comes from.
Mm-hmm. And then there's those of us who don't have to try to look
busy.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
Yeah.
Just slow down a little bit.
Which leads me to what I just got done saying. We're already busy enough.
Yeah.
Well,
we're doing our job.
The other thing, too, though, is communication. I mean, you guys, we're in the business of communication. And how much falls through the cracks because we don't communicate well?
A
lot.
That's a great point. I mean, it is absolutely the point.
When you have 500 emails that come in a day, and 7 of them are vital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
It's you know, there's no exact
lost
science.
For words.
I well, am.
And this is
in I have the, too many emails.
And this is something like it's not as if we can go and ask our parents how they handled this. You know, like,
good point.
This is a new problem. This right. is yeah. something that we're all trying to adjust and figure out. And it's again another one of those things where we're making the boat on the water. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure mm-hmm. this out in real time.
Right.
And we got to like not
there's
just
not enough room on the door.
Oh, that's good. I just want to go to break now. That was great. We'll get to our state and local news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Hey! That was awesome. All three of us in unison. And we didn't even plan that.
We didn't even plan it.
We love that. Also means we've been spending maybe too much time
That's
together.
That's what I was just thinking.
I think Melissa gets the short end of that.
Yeah,
she really gross. Does.
Yeah, really yeah. does. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We're going to have some
I'm
fun.
I'm the shortest one. That was mean, Seth.
Not my intention, but now that you say it, I like it.
We need audience participation for this next one. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and let us know what your favorite weird foods were when you Ooh. Were a kid.
Yeah. Or a one-button dialing on the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm. Many people grow up enjoying unusual food combinations, and they don't really realize they're unusual until you become older and realize nobody else was doing this. And with those people are sharing the meals they found to be delicious when they were kids and then later realized they're kind of
That's
weird combinations.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. So this list is in no particular order, so I'm just going to go ahead and go from the top on down here. Like ketchup sandwiches. Just ketchup and white bread. And sometimes they'd spice it up by adding bologna or sliced ham.
I have heard of ketchup sandwiches before.
I've only done it with saltines.
Just little ketchup sandwich.
Okay.
Gotcha. Tomato sandwiches, I guess.
Yep.
Speaking of saltines, one of my favorite snacks when I was growing up was just basically toasting a bunch of bread and just a slice of peanut butter on it and eat it.
That's not that weird.
With saltines, doing the same thing, putting peanut butter on like a bunch mm-hmm. of salt. Like I'd make like 10 of them and just go to town.
Right. One right after another.
The first thing that popped in my head, how did you toast them?
This
kind of hard to do.
Saltine toasting fork over the open flame.
Yes. Eggo waffles with melted sharp cheddar cheese.
Actually, I can see that.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's not all that
different from a grilled cheese because Eggo waffles aren't that sweet.
No, they're not. They tend to more the more savory side. Mm-hmm. So you can do, chicken and waffles is a thing.
Yep.
And I know that's more savory waffles, but mm-hmm. still, you can do it. Yeah.
Grape jelly on grilled cheese.
My mother loved a piece of bread, butter, strawberry jam, summer sausage, and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That one makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
That one makes more sense.
You know, the summer sausage makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Spaghetti noodles with canned beans. No. No.
Yeah, but just you don't like beans.
You stop that.
Wait, no. Spaghetti noodles with beans.
Those poor spaghetti noodles.
Man, I like beans a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I'll pass on that one.
What kind of canned beans?
No, well, I mean, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
If it's black beans, maybe, that'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
Actually, any kind of beans, now that I think about it.
Not really, though. There's some pasta recipes, like pasta salad recipes, that have beans in them.
That's true. Like cold pasta salad.
Yeah, like chickpeas.
Ugh, yes, chickpeas. Garbanzo beans.
Every bit of my Italian DNA is revolting.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Okay, move on.
Let's keep talking. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not going to get much better. Chili and cinnamon rolls.
Whoa.
What?
That's a weird flex.
That is a, how do you even come across that?
I mean, cinnamon in chili is a thing.
You can do that, yep.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Oh, mm-hmm.
But the whole roll?
Yeah. You can put. I got a recipe for chocolate chili.
Yeah,
that's excellent. Yep,
but that's very different than a cinnamon roll. There,
it
Seth.
It is. Yeah,
I would not try.
I'm picturing this giant gooey, warm, yummy cinnamon roll, and then what? You put a scoop of chili on it? Who does that?
Oh yeah, no. It's a poor that poor cinnamon roll. I love cinnamon rolls. That's not good. It does make me really want a cinnamon roll, though. It really does.
Right.
Making ham salad by grinding up uncooked hot dogs and mixing them with sweet relish and mayonnaise.
Okay.
No.
That is not that weird.
I can see that.
My mom did
more.
That with veggie franks.
Oh.
So they're like a fake meat hot dog.
Right.
And then it's almost like a pate, basically. Mm. But it's a sandwich spread. You grind up the fake meat hamburger, hot dog. Not hamburgers. Hot dogs. Those are grillers. That's a different recipe. And then you add the pickle relish.
Huh.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, right.
Actually pretty good.
Doing it your way, doing it with regular hot dogs. In no way is that ham. I am sorry. Yeah, yeah. That is not ham.
No.
It's hard to think of it as ham. Yeah. A cubed up baguette. Tossed with Greek yogurt and chopped mint, and sometimes with honey to make it a sweet treat.
Ooh.
That
with a baguette?
Good.
Actually,
with
that would work. Yeah. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That's not that weird.
Having milk to drink with spaghetti. It's super refreshing. It counters the acidic perfectly, but my Italian-American friends think it's bizarre, because it is.
Oh wow! Yeah, well, then I'm bizarre, because I'm like, what's wrong with that?
No,
so bizarre.
No.
I see no problem. What
no, no problem
about,
with
man?
That. Or chocolate.
Italy doesn't have
chocolate
any cows?
Milk could be really good with spaghetti.
If you're eating at certain restaurants that are famous, that have a famous chain that give you free breadsticks because their food isn't the greatest, then you might want to have milk with them. But that's not if you're eating a real Italian meal.
Shut up, James. I love Olive Garden.
If you're eating a real Italian meal, you're missing out on the actual, like, the okay, if it's a bland sauce, sure, have as much milk as you want, but the milk is going to mess with the flavor of the sauce. And if you're I don't know.
Hey, it does counteract the acidity of the tomatoes.
Sure.
They're right. And for people who suffer from acid reflux, myself included,
if I
could drink milk.
This brings up something
I'm just
very
gonna keep
important.
Talking so Seth can't.
No, this brings up something very great, this is important. This is important, James.
Shush. Seth has the floor.
They are Italian. I think you will agree. Cream sauces. Alfredo sauces. Yeah.
They have milk in them.
They do have dairy products in them. So.
And they're served on a pasta.
Yeah. So
I stand on this. Yeah. I stand on this.
But notably, they don't do it with the marinara tomato sauce. No, so it's that's separate.
True. And I'm pretty sure my Nana drank milk with her spaghetti.
Because you live in Wisconsin. Yeah. That's part of that, right? Yeah.
Coffee and crackers. You take a plate, line it with saltines, pour over coffee until they're softened, then spread some sugar to taste and eat them with deli ham.
You lost me. You lost me with the deli ham.
I hate soft crackers. Like, there's nothing worse than
I was with you once you sprinkled the sugar on there. I mean, it's almost like a donut.
Mm.
Okay.
It's coffee flavored.
Yeah, I can see.
But
that
then deli ham?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to throw on top. That is kind of strange, yeah.
I really love, like, coffee-flavored things. I was so excited to get this coffee-flavored ice cream the other day. It didn't taste anything like coffee.
Aww,
it didn't taste anything like
sad.
It. I was so disappointed.
It tasted like ice cream. I can't believe that.
How dare it?
How dare they?
It's a fair point. Fair point. And finally, cut up hot dogs in everything. Scrambled eggs, mac and cheese, stir fry.
Mac
it doesn't matter.
We did that as kids. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all did that.
Hot dogs are cheap.
That
you
was
know?
The thing.
Yep.
They were cheap.
They were.
So was mac and cheese.
Yeah.
The Kraft version, you could just throw. Yeah, that was pretty cheap, too.
When we didn't have hot dogs to throw in our mac and cheese, we used applesauce.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting.
Not that you mixed it together, but you have them in the same bowl, and so you take a bite of.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And that works.
Yeah.
Because we had it so often, you had to do something.
Okay.
I think that might
be. You can
be
only put so much ketchup in it.
True. I think that might be the most universal one. The cut up hot dogs and everything.
Maybe it's a Midwest thing. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That and our casseroles.
Yes. Yes.
Hot dish.
Meatloaf.
Thank you.
Meatloaf's another one.
For correcting yourself. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had one of my best friends growing up, Craig, would take just a ton of peanut butter and jelly, put it in a bowl, mix it up, and eat it.
Yeah. I had a friend that was like that when I was
That was the weirder one to me growing up. Like, that was probably one of the but then again, this
you're
reminds...
cutting out the carbs.
This reminds me of my father, where he would tell me, you know, Jimmy, if you're on the bus and you don't... There's always one weirdo, and if you don't find him, it's probably you. the fact that all of these don't, like, all food that I eat is weird. The way I eat every food is weird, probably. So I don't know if I'm really fair in this conversation.
You know, we can't keep going on this because I know we got to take a break. But like ethnic foods that they brought over, certain things they brought over from the old country that just really should be stopped. And I'm including lutefisk in this. And I grew up with that. But if you've ever been, and if we have any, you know, old school Polish people out there, you could comment on this. There's I can't remember what it's called. It's a dish. You take raw ground beef, and you put some onions in it and a couple other things. I can't remember what it is. And you eat it like that.
Yeah, it's a New Year's tradition.
Yeah.
My grandpa called it chip chop.
Yeah, is that? Oh, okay.
I mean,
I think it's got a Polish name for it.
There
but, yeah.
is, and there's a bunch of other names for it, too. But
that just sounds dangerous.
It is. Especially in today's world. I have a video to show you guys that I took in Texas of the endless miles of cows packed into fields.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the video is like a minute and a half long.
Oh, wow.
And we're driving at 65 miles an hour. And that was only one that I actually took video of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our meat industry. Or not.
Or we'll just pass on that right now.
Yeah. Or maybe we're getting into that one of these days. Because that's one that we got to talk about. We got to talk about. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We've got a sort of Danae Wright story. Princess Cruises wants to hire somebody to do something kind of interesting. We'll see what you guys think when we come back on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here. Take it right to the end of the hour.
L.A. proved too much for the man.
Get into a sort of That Ain't Right story to wrap up the week. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to vacation like James Bond, this could be your ticket. Princess Cruises has a new $1 billion ship called the Sun Princess, and they're wondering what you think of its onboard casino. So they're offering one person and a guest an all-expense-paid one-week cruise to test the casino and report back about the experience. In addition to free food and drinks, you'll also get a $500 stipend to spend at the casino, along with additional $500 for a cruise allowance. In exchange, they want you to rate the casino on a scale of 0 to 10, based on criteria like game variety, betting limits, atmosphere, etc. You can apply from now through the end of the month, and you need to be able to take a cruise in October or November. So that is something to keep in mind. But if you're curious and want to apply for this, you can go to that doesn't help you. It's a Google Doc that they send you to for this.
Okay. Yeah, sign up, go. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can also just throw in their Princess Cruises and probably find it that way.
Yeah.
If you're unemployed, it seems like a pretty good gig.
It's a week?
It's a,
week-long cruise, by the sound of it, cruise.
And they give you $500 for
that's
the casino.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
That's it. It's their money. Like
they're not losing anything.
No, they're giving you money to spend in their casino that's going right back to that. Why would they give you $500?
I don't know why they'd even give you a spending
that's
limit.
That's not
like,
enough.
Why would they give you a limit? Like,
for
you know,
a week.
Yeah.
You could spend that much in one night.
Easily, like one hand.
Yeah, definitely.
One hand of blackjack. You're done. Sorry.
I mean, what do they always say about casinos? Who's the winner?
No, the house always,
wins.
House always wins. Yeah. You have never seen a poor casino. You have never walked in like, how are they keeping this place open?
I mean, they don't replace the carpets, but
notable exception. One guy couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
but we're not going to talk about that.
That's true. Imagine being so bad at business, you can't even make a casino work.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's pretty darn
funny.
Sorry,
it took me a minute.
That's
all right.
I don't care who you vote for. That's funny. That is just funny.
How do you
mess up a casino? How do you do that?
Anyway.
Bad at business.
That ain't right story. We look at our good stories of the day and kick it off with our midday magazine to wrap up the week. In part one, Wisconsin Assembly Representative Scott District, Wisconsin Assembly District 72 Representative joins us. Always an interesting, in-depth, no-holds-barred conversation with Scott and I, where we butt heads, then we laugh, and we wrap up probably talking about baseball and the Brewers.
See, so every political conversation could go.
Really should.
You know,
really
end up talking baseball. That's what I say. Yeah.
You can agree to disagree, and that's totally fine.
Looking forward to talking to Scott in a little bit. Always appreciate his time. And in part two, we're wrapping up the week with our friends from Rams. The kids from Rams, just a couple of minutes away from us here. They're going to come in. We've got two Isabel and a Reese joining us.
Two Isabels, wow.
They're coming in as part of the FACT program. They've joined us before.
Oh. Yeah.
So these kids are great.
Yeah, they really are. It's a youth-led movement to help educate peers on the impact of tobacco and nicotine that they have on their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Gretchen, their advisor over at Rams, will also be with us. Really looking
Very
forward
good.
To that.
Wonderful.
Fun way to wrap up the week.
Yeah, those are good kids.
Got great stuff on your radio dial tonight at 6:30 tonight on here at WFHR. It is a ball night. We've got Bucks hosting the Toronto Raptors. That should be a good one.
That's hopefully they win a game here.
Yeah, yeah. And Saturday, you've got Over the Back Fence. Be sure to join us for that. Well, a couple of different shows on Saturday. First,
yeah.
7 o'clock, Sunshine Polka Show with our guy Tim Humboldt. Mm-hmm. Join us for that. One of the better shows you'll ever hear. Tim scours the universe looking for great polka. go ahead and check it out.
He does,
yes. Check it out every Saturday at 7, the Sunshine Polka Show. Terry Talks Nutrition is on after that at 8 a.m. Terry Lemrund, icon in the health in the healthy supplement industry, mm-hmm. and everything. Brought
Very
to us,
knowledgeable.
Yes, incredible knowledgeable. I've gotten to talk to Terry before and really enjoyed my time with him. And that show is brought to us by our great friends over at Family Natural Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And Over the Back Fence from 11 to noon. Be sure to join us for that Seth show.
Yep.
Call up with your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, and have some fun with the show, everybody.
Yeah.
Call in, join the conversation.
Yep.
Let's keep that show alive.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just going to be talking about how great we are because of all the WBA awards.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
And warning you now.
We've told Tim that's how to spend the time. That's how to just keep talking about us. So there's all that. And then, of course, our Sunday lineup. Now, on Sunday at 5:30, you got Milwaukee Bucks hosting New York Knicks. So we will not have any of our original Sunday lineup this this Sunday. No Unlabeled, no Seth Faces the Music. However, the next weekend, we're kind of hopeful that we will. I don't remember if we...
No, I think we're good.
We are good.
For that Sunday, yeah.
So not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we're going to have a good four-hour block for you on Sunday.
Yes.
We'll have a hour-long director's cut where we're going to speak with Gretchen Powers from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Get some amazing stuff coming up with Hopo this summer,
mm-hmm.
Along with just wrapping up the season.
A lot to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. After that, you'll have Seth Faces Music. Seth will have a great theme for you that'll be have a bunch of music and audio around surrounding it. And then we'll have another new episode of Unlabeled for you.
I sent you a song today.
Did you?
Yeah. I did.
All right.
You're going to hate it.
That's okay.
You'll
That's
play it.
All right.
You'll play it.
Keep getting me those requests, everybody. If you've got a hit song that you like from the 90s, let me know. It doesn't have to be a hit. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, I will play it. Hit me up at james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Love getting those requests from everybody.
And I will give you extra points if you send one that James hates.
Yes. But you get points from Alyssa for that one. And those are...
Anything
those are,
by Loverboy.
Dear God.
They were done by the 90s.
Dear God.
Man.
But I guess James is a professional. He will do
yes.
it, and he will
honor your request.
He will not say anything bad. He will just give you some facts, and that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Feel free to reach out to me anytime, everybody, and get those requests to me. And thank you so much for spreading the word about the show. It's been a lot of fun to do. I want to remind you again that we've got great theater in town tonight. Tiny Beautiful Things, this wonderful studio production being done by Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Go ahead and check it out and support these great artists. Support WRCT. You've got a show today at 7 and tomorrow at 7 if you're not able to catch it. And you can get tickets at wrctheater.org or right at the door. And Melissa, you said in Marshfield they got a show going on?
Yeah, they're doing Sister Act in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. So you want to get out and catch that.
You know, the one thing I was thinking about while we were talking, the art stuff that we were talking about earlier, even every small community, look just in Wood County, has a community theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
maybe they just do one show
a year. Wausau had one last weekend.
Yeah, Wausau, Marshfield, Pittsville. Mm-hmm. Has a community theater that's just one show a year, but hey, that's awesome.
That's still a show.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's very cool. And, and that's something that we can all do and enjoy.
Absolutely.
So.
And shall I, that was a bad drum roll, but
that was all right.
Tell you what the theme is for the Kitchens Open on Monday.
Oh, yes.
Smoked meats.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Thank you,
nice.
Kevin.
I hope Kevin wasn't driving. He just drove off the road.
Oh, that was awesome. That's awesome. That is going to be
good. It's going to be a fun episode. Oh, we got a caller.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that's that might be our Midday Magazine interview.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So we'll wait on that one. But we'll go ahead. And Melissa, I did want to touch on something the United Way is up to.
Oh, yeah, we have our Shred Day coming up on next week on Wednesday, I believe, the 10th. You need to protect your identity by bringing in your sensitive documents, old tax returns, bank statements, canceled check, you know, all the stuff you don't want anybody else to have. After the first two 18x10 boxes, they ask for a donation of $5. So make sure that you get in on this. It's Wednesday, April 10th from 9 to 11 at the Prevail Bank parking lot. Get there early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because they will stop if they have too much.
Yes. So.
Find out more at uwswac.org and be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date and everything in your community. Mm-hmm. And speaking of good stuff in our community, Seth, we got a big one going on tomorrow.
It's back. It's back. They took a week off, but now through May 18th, they're going to be every Saturday, the market at the Moravian Church, the Winter Farmers Market from 9 to 1. So come check it out. They're going strong, everybody. And hopefully with the nice weather that we've got coming up here, we'll have more food trucks out there and that sort of thing. You can find out all their vendors. Go to their Facebook page, Winter Farmers Market. Just type that into your Facebook search bar, and you will see everything that they're who's going to be there this week. Do that every week so you can see, because it always changes. It always have lots of new vendors and stuff. So come check it out at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. In Rapids, I should probably say that.
Always reaching out to vendors, too, and find out more at WRMoravian.org. Mm-hmm. Looking at some big world good stories of the day, an elementary school principal in North Carolina took matters into his own hands when a wild turkey wouldn't stop harassing kids in the pickup line. There's a photo of him using an umbrella to chase it off. It is hilarious. the things when you're asked to do as a principal, I got to imagine that one didn't come up.
You didn't teach this in administrator school.
No.
Someone's pet snake went missing in the UK over a year ago, but just showed back up.
A year later?
Yeah, after a cow dropped it on their roof. Yeah, the snake is okay. The biggest issue was an unrelated respiratory infection. But hold up.
Cow?
A crow. I'm sorry, a crow.
Okay.
A crow.
A crow makes more sense. I didn't know cows could fly. Maybe in the UK, but...
Dyslexia is real, everybody.
Yes, it is.
Yes. A crow dropped it. I changed my mind.
Still,
I wish it was a cow.
Yeah.
Still.
That's impressive.
That's crazy.
That's just insane. Just crazy. All of a sudden,
I'm delivering you back. It's crows now. Apparently, he's subcontracting for the stork.
Jeez. Nice.
That's doesn't want to lose to the drones.
No,
you know?
Our drones.
That's a bumper right there. Over the past few years, HarperCollins Publishers has been making changes to their fonts to improve their carbon footprint. The new fonts let them fit a few more lines on each page. They say it's saved almost 250 million pages so far and over 5,600 trees.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That is pretty
cool. We'll take that.
No kidding.
And there are more good stories out there, everybody.
Yeah,
call them in. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Share them with us and be the good story out there, everybody. Have yourselves a great weekend, you two. Enjoy yourselves.
You
and
too,
thanks
man.
So much for a
you
great
too.
Show. Have a good weekend, everybody. Be good to each other. Enjoy your weekend. And stick around for some great original content, not only this weekend, but coming up. Matt and Air on the Air right around the corner, everybody. Be sure to check that out. More right here. Be good to each other. It's a morning show at WFHR.